Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. From Orange County, California, I'm Zach Birchie.
I'm Justin Savakis.
Welcome to AnCast. So how's it going, Justin?
I've just done nothing but work all week, and I've realized I'm the most boring person in the world right now.
Do you ever do anything but work? I mean, work and eat?
Well, yeah, but the eating sometimes is spectacular.
Okay,
that's the other thing I talk about.
That's true. I'm very busy working on Protoculture Addicts, which is coming up pretty soon. I don't know when the issue is actually going to release, but soon enough, so that's kind of exciting. That's kind of eating up all my time, but briefly I wanted to mention this. I meant to go see the Wolfman, or the Wolfman, as it is referred to.
You know, that just doesn't look good to me.
Well, I got there, and on the way there, I decided I didn't really want to see it. But I got there, and it was like 5 minutes into a show of Crazy Heart, so I saw that instead.
How was it?
You remember what we were saying?
It's exactly
like The Wrestler. It is exactly like The Wrestler. Like, even more than I thought it was going to be. Same beats, you know, he's got an estranged kid he hasn't seen in a long time, doesn't want to talk to him. He's, he's broken down old former successful guy who falls in love with a younger but quietly desperate woman. I mean, same beats. It has a different ending, and there's a more interesting interplay between Jeff Bridges and this Colin Farrell character who's like his protege, who's now more successful than he is, and they have a difficult relationship.
Right.
There's that. It's not a bad movie, but it already came out last year, and it was called The Wrestler and had Mickey Rourke in it.
God. You know, this is just the dead season for movies. There's nothing.
It really is. I was surprised to find out it was produced by Country Music Television. Like, I didn't know that.
That surprises me, too. Hey, you know what? Country Music Television apparently produces a better movie than CBS does.
That's true, except the ending is all really... It has a happy ending, spoiler
what?
Alert. Yeah, I won't get into it, but... Anyway, rent it if, you know, 2 years from now, if you're bored.
Yeah, I had a mild interest in seeing Percy Jackson just because it looks like it might scratch the Harry Potter itch, and I'm a Harry Potter fanboy.
Uh-huh.
But it's Chris Columbus,
yep.
And the reviews have been mediocre at best.
Did you ever go back and revisit those first two movies?
No. Next time I'm bored but don't want to do anything, I'm planning on popping those in, but just watching it in Japanese, just because it's basically a shonen graphic novel to
begin
with.
I don't know if I would totally agree with that, but yeah, well, I'm curious.
Parts of it. It has the same arc.
I'm waiting to be justified when I told you that the special effects are some of the worst in modern age. Like, they have not held up at all. They look bad when it came out. It looks rotten now, especially on Blu-ray. Like, totally looks like shit.
Well, I can't wait.
Yeah, awesome. So
Blu-ray, or anime-wise this week...
we had some fun. We decided to watch Halo Legends.
And by fun, well, in my case anyway, Zach means complete anger.
It was pretty rotten.
It's been a long time since an anime made me this angry. You know, usually crappy anime puts me to sleep. And this, if I was in a different mood, maybe, would have put me to sleep.
Yeah.
But it is, from a writing and creative perspective, utterly incompetent.
Except for the final segment, I will agree.
Which, visually, was nice, and writing-wise was merely adequate.
Yeah, it was fine, but it was clear to me that that's what they wanted. Like, they should have just made that into a feature. I don't know why they didn't. Money, I guess.
It's the one short that is actually 3D CG.
Yeah.
That, and the whole project seems to be... I can almost picture the boardroom where they went, well... Why don't we make it like the Animatrix? Let's make it like the Animatrix. The problem is the Matrix movies have, you know, well, the first one anyway, has kind of a smart and at the time refreshing worldview.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot there to explore.
Yeah.
And not that I think Animatrix is the greatest thing ever made, but it was fun for its day and, you know, interesting. The Halo games, you know, it's already a video game. You know, the plot, the narrative was not the main driving force behind it.
Yeah.
And it's always been, you know, just kind of derivative, generic sci-fi that happened to have a really cool interface and some neat weapons.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And as I was sitting there watching it, because I've never been that interested in the Halo fiction. I mean, I buy Halo games because my friends buy Halo games, and we all play the multiplayer for about 6 months and then we get bored of it. But it's really fun for those 6 months. My fondest memories of Halo are, you know, shooting a bazooka at my buddy who's ramping his warthog off of a jump and I managed to blow him out of the air. Like, those are my favorite memories of Halo.
That's
not
the
stupid part. Not the stupid storyline. It's not stupid, it's just generic. It's generic and pointless.
I played through the story mode for the first two games with a friend of mine, and it was fun, but just to give you some idea of how not all that inspiring they were, we were skipping through the cutscenes.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine a cutscene, except dubbed in, a cutscene that's an entire feature long, dubbed in by people who sound as bored as I am.
Yeah.
My God, this is the most bored sounding voice work I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's
in a while.
It's very monotone.
Very monotone. No one seemed to be getting into it. There's, like, it sounded like each line was recorded in a vacuum with no direction.
Yeah.
Because there was no context to their tone of voice.
I mean, I didn't have as much of a problem with it as you did, but then again, like, I pretty much checked out, especially once it gets to that third segment, which is one of the ones that Mamoru Oshii worked on.
Oh, my God.
That's Production IG. Can you believe that? It is the worst-looking thing I've seen in a really long time. The third segment is all Covenant, those god-awful Covenant character designs.
You know what? You know what it looked like to me? Do you remember when the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie came out, and the whole thing was obviously just a guy in a suit with sloppily computer rotoscoped?
Yeah.
Imagine that, except with a Photoshop painterly filter over it. The whole thing is a mess. And then there's the that first segment and last segment, which is exactly like what they tried to do with Animatrix with the origin story.
Except it's nowhere near as good.
Well, not only that, they had Hideki Futemura do it at Studio 4 Degrees. Futemura, this is the guy with the unwatchable segment in Genius Party.
Yeah.
This is the guy who thought that his great artistic achievement would be to load up a visualizer in iTunes and have someone narrate banal musings on religion over it for 30 minutes.
I remember skipping that.
I mean, at some point, it would be nice. Just, Hideki, if you're listening, and I know you're not, make something that doesn't make me want to shoot myself in the face. Just, that would be nice.
I mean, and then did you watch you skipped some of them, right?
I skipped a few of them because I was dying.
So did you watch the wacky comedy one?
Oh, where Master Chief has the code name 1337.
Well, that wasn't Master Chief. It was another Spartan. Okay. Master Chief is up on the ship observing his wacky, the elite guy's wacky antics, and there's dinosaurs for some reason. And of course, Greg Ayers pops up.
Yeah. You know what? Is there really, does any Halo fan want to see a wacky Halo soldier interact with kids and get stomped on by a dinosaur? Does that happen?
It was just so fucking uninteresting and uninspired. And just,
it was just complete lazy little kid comedy.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is just kind of a waste of time. I mean, even like the ones where like it's kind of serious and it looks like anime, you know, like the one with the sniper. It's just not that interesting. And I think it's just because, and I don't know if it's just because the fiction of Halo is not inspired and therefore not inspiring to filmmakers, or if it's just they just didn't try very hard.
It's the latter, because even though there's not much to work with in the games, all you need is a character to connect with.
Yeah.
That's all you need. And no one even came close to establishing a character I cared anything about.
Yeah. It's a wash. I hope, and you know, the funny thing is as much as there is to complain about Dante's Inferno, it's so much better than this.
Oh, yeah. I popped in the Dante's Inferno Blu-ray to cleanse my palate.
Yeah, from Halo. I would actually put...
Which was actually mildly fun.
In terms of ranking these anthology projects, and we're seeing more and more of them now, and I hope they keep coming out, because it's a way to keep anime on the sort of the cool radar.
Right.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to buy Halo. I'm sure a lot of people are going to like it. And like I said, as I mentioned to you earlier, this really is for fans of the fiction, the people who read the Halo novels, the people who buy the action figures, the people who are really into the story. They might get something out of this.
If you have a passing interest, maybe rent it on Netflix and just watch that one segment.
Yeah, the one segment at the end is really...
Shinji Aramaki's segment.
Shinji Aramaki. Really... And you'll probably agree with us that should have just been the whole movie.
Right.
Like,
yeah, they should have just released that as a promotional short streaming on Xbox Live or something and have that be it.
Yeah, yeah. But in terms of ranking these things, I'd say the Animatrix is still the best one.
Yeah.
Dante's is probably next, and then, I mean, the rest of them are...
I never saw Batman.
Batman's no good. No. At least I didn't like it.
Is it worse or better than this?
It's better, but by virtue of it having Batman and Batman characters in it, and there's at
least...
You
already have a connection.
Yeah, there's already a connection there, and there's at least two segments I would say are good.
Not just one.
Yeah, not just one. Even the one here has an asterisk next to it.
Right.
Well, it's better than the rest of them, you know?
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, they had ADV do the dubbing.
Yeah.
I haven't heard ADV dub this bad in a while.
Yeah, it was Stephen Foster.
Yeah, this was some of his worst work in years.
There's a lot of people who would probably disagree with you on that.
In years. You know, the last 3 years of, like, ADV's reign, he was turning in some pretty quality work, I think.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yes, the early stuff, the Sayukis, those were, put your thumbs in your eyes and press.
But, yeah, I don't know. So Halo Legends is kind of a wash. All right, well, let's go ahead and get to the guest. Okay, our guests today are from NIS America, the latest company to jump into the anime licensing business. With us today is Nazuk, Public Relations Manager, and Mitsu Hirooka, the Vice President. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much.
We're very excited to talk to you guys. People obviously have a lot of questions. So
I'm sure.
Before we get into the obvious stuff, this is primarily a video game company. And how'd you get started? Tell us the brief story of this company.
Well, NIS America is a subsidiary of Nippon Ichi Software in Japan, and we established this company in 2003 as a video game company. And we do localizing, marketing, and making all this, packaging and advertising and all that in-house. Mm-hmm. And we bring NIS Japanese title to U.S. audience. And we also localize other titles from different companies like Gast and Idea Factory. Mm-hmm. So basically what we do is to localize Japanese RPG and bring it over here.
So role-playing games are your main
focus.
And correct me if I'm wrong, your biggest hit was Disgaea, right?
Yes, that's correct.
That was the big hit.
Uh-huh.
So in terms of, I guess let's just get straight into it. Why are you getting into anime?
Let's ask me too.
Yeah, so the, as Nao said, that the one of our mission is bringing excellent pop culture from Japan. Mm. And the, apparently bringing anime aligns to that mission. Mm. Yeah, so that's why we have been interested in doing anime business. And the... And another reason is the current economic circumstances as well. Since the chances or possibilities for business are always decided by, comparing demand and supply, mm-hmm. Balancing, either is stronger. And then we felt that the supplying power is, rather weak. Weaker if compared with the overall demand. Mm-hmm. So that's why we found a chance to start anime business right now.
So you think the fans, there's enough anime out there that isn't being released here, and you saw that as an opportunity to to dive in. So I guess the obvious question is the market being what it is, which is not, as I'm sure you guys are aware, the anime market on DVD in America, not good. It's not a great time. I would say most people would argue not a great time. So why now? Why not 3 years ago?
Well, I think it's part of the reason what me to say, before 3 years ago we had Genion and other big publishers. So we kind of focused on video game, but then now that there's no big supplier for the anime, mm-hmm. so we felt that we can use what we have for as video game company, localizing tools and all that, to bring out this anime demand, supply the demand. So I think it's maybe people might think that why is it now, but I think if we believe that it's a really good chance to jump in, and then provide high quality anime.
So you're sort of filling a vacuum.
Yeah.
You're seeing that you're taking this big hole that exists mm-hmm. in the market and saying, well, we can do that. Now, the video games you release are very close to the anime that you've licensed.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And I assume this company has managed to survive because your games are very niche titles. It's you guys have released some pretty wacky stuff. I looked at your catalog.
I won't argue
that. Yeah, pretty wacky stuff. And so, are you taking a similar approach in terms of how many copies you're printing, what goes out to retailers, how it gets sold? Is it similar? Are you, like, you've got a title you don't have a high sales expectation for? Yeah. Are you keeping those controls like in place on the anime? Like you're not expecting these to be huge, giant.
Right. We like to start with like a smaller amount and then see how the market is, because we don't want to just jump in and just sink.
Right.
We want to survive there too.
Yeah.
So we want to use what we have as like we always provide premium box for video games, and then we like to do that for anime DVD.
Okay.
And just kind of feeling out. What's there?
What people will actually buy?
Yeah.
So speaking of that, you guys do a lot of these limited edition sets that have all these extras. In fact, you have one set coming out that has one of those otaku mouse pads that comes with it. You know what I'm talking about, right?
From the Rosen Queen?
Yeah, something like that. Are you planning on having premium items like that package, like a limited edition Toradora with a character good or merchandise, something like that?
At this moment, we're planning on having something like additional product, but then we haven't decided actually what we're going to.
Okay. So the next obvious question is, are you dubbing any of this stuff into English?
At this moment, we are very reluctant to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, since if we dub the anime titles, we wish to have better than what we do for video games.
Oh, okay.
And that means there is a significant cost
right.
to do that. And then on the other hand, within these 3 to 5 years. Lots of other major publishers went out of business.
Yeah.
And so that's a fact. So the actually, we are very positive about doing business, but on the other hand, we currently don't see who the consumers are.
Right.
Yeah, so that's why if we are blind, we can't put big money for this, for the business.
You don't want to spend $30,000 on a dub.
No.
on your first launch. So, but there's a possibility that in the future,
yeah, sure,
consider doing it. So I have to ask, have you gotten any emails from Bang Zoom Entertainment? no comment.
Well, we actually work with them for video games.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
So yeah,
you maybe in the future.
Okay. Have you been hearing a lot from the fans?
Oh, yes. Since we released the announcement, we received a lot of emails. And, there are new fans like, oh, I didn't know you guys going to, release anime. But then there are a lot of fans from, like, NISA fans that, oh, that's so cool that you guys are going to release this and that. So we're really, really excited about it. And we're happy that our customers and our fans are really excited about this news, too.
What titles got, I know the answer to this, but what title's getting the most attention?
I believe it's Toradora.
Were you expecting that at all?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's one of our, the best, favorite.
So you probably can't answer this either, but did you have to bid on these titles? Was there competition for the license?
Maybe not.
That'll be interesting for people to find out. So why these titles specifically? Why these shows?
How we decided to go with these four titles, Toradora, Persona, Pandora Hearts, and our Holmes Fox Duty, is that we watched over 20, 30, 50 animes at office, all the NISA staff watched them, and then we rated, we voted for, okay, this is my favorite, this is our favorite. So we kind of gather all the information from NISA staff. And, we have to like those titles to publish it.
Mm.
We have to believe in the title. So that's how we decided those four titles.
Now, I imagine the staff here, mostly anime fans, people who are into it, maybe. So how big a consulting group did you have going into this? Like, did you have the whole office in there watching stuff, or was it a small group of you?
Over 15 people.
Yeah, so far reviewing, you know, we gather 15 people to see watch anime.
Right, right. Did you at all talk to any of the other licensors out there? Anybody at Funimation, anyone like that? Have you spoken to any of those people yet?
I think they are very, negative to, give the knowledge to us. <Right. laughs>
They don't really want to lend you help. Yeah, yeah. Knowing that, what are your ambitions for this? Do you see yourself as eventually being the size of like a Genion or a former ADV? Do you see yourself going there, or is this really just an experiment and you'll take it as far as you can?
It's not an experiment. So we are very sincere to do the anime business. So that's why, we consider about profitability, not being red. I already spent almost a year in order to, release the, first titles. Maybe someday we can be, major publisher like Funimation or Viz Media. But in these circumstances, we have to survive and we have to keep on releasing anime titles.
How big a risk is this for you guys? Is it a big risk? Are you taking a big chance?
Well, it's, starting business is always a big risk, I think.
Well, I mean, in terms of, because obviously you figured out how to make the game work. Mm-hmm. Like, that works for you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if for whatever reason anime doesn't work out, are you going to be okay?
Okay, yeah. The anime America itself will be okay. But then for that, because we don't want to, go bankrupt anything.
Yeah.
We go smaller amount and then see what's gonna work and what will be wanted by, fans and customers. Mm-hmm. So, first four titles, it will be like testing the water. So we're not gonna be putting 100%
the whole company
into the anime business.
So you didn't bet the farm on this
stuff. Right.
Okay.
So when you first decided to make this decision, yes, we're going to do anime, how did you research the American market? I mean, do you go to conventions, or how did you get your current view of what anime fans are like?
So we have been participating in Anime Expo for five years.
Yeah.
So we know the audiences already, and of course, I went to Anime News Network to hear how the market is going, and I have spent lots of time to discussing with licensors as well as retailers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think I did market research well.
Also, going into Anime Expo every year, even if all these publishers went out of business, the participants for the Anime Expo are growing every year. Mm-hmm. So we see that anime market is actually growing. So we're like, okay, we need to be the one, giving them all this anime that they want to. So
now, let's just talk retail for a minute. Are people going to be able to buy these at, Best Buy? I mean, I imagine most of the business these days is probably by mail order, right?
It's going to be online.
Online only?
Yeah.
Like retailers that we know, or your own website?
It's going to be four or five.
Yeah, four or five retailers.
Online.
Yeah, major,
it's
going to
be only
retailer.
For online.
So like Amazon, right, stuff, all those.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Now, one thing that's kind of been a huge issue in not just anime, but the whole entertainment industry the last year or two, is that it's not just anime, but all of DVD is kind of in a very big decline right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are you guys looking beyond DVD? Are you guys going to be doing Blu-ray, streaming? What else? How are you addressing that challenge?
We would love to do the Blu-ray, but then, the original file has to be on Blu-ray. So, for now, I guess we're going to just go on DVD. But then in the future, if we have the title that has Blu-ray format, we will definitely do that.
Is an HD already?
Right.
Yeah, and we also have the channel at the PlayStation Network. So the maybe downloading, streaming will be the, you know, another option later for us.
So, but right now just DVD.
Yeah, mainly DVD.
So the titles that you picked this time specifically, with the exception of Persona, they're all really popular. Well, some of them are really popular among the really hardcore otaku crowd, which is notoriously difficult to monetize. Like, it's hard to get them to... It's, in America, in Japan, this is not the problem. But in America, it's tough to get them to buy anything. They're very reluctant to buy things. Like, the DVD has to be perfect. Uh-huh. And the majority, like, at least a third of the responses we got were, I'm not buying this because there's no dub. Like, they've automatically rejected it. Is the risk of spending money on a dub, any money on a dub, are you concerned at all that it's really going to cut into your sales?
Because
surely you've been getting emails about this.
Right. And then most of, like, for the email that we got, most of them kind of half and a half, like, oh, are you guys going to do dub? And then, you know, we replied that, you know, at this moment, we were not going to do it. But then they were happy that to even just have these titles.
Right.
So for them, the emails that we received, it didn't really look like the dub is the most concern.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, they want to know if they're going to be dubbing or not. But so we're just hoping that, you know, first, this, you know, four titles, it will go smoothly. And, you know, we really, really hardcore niche title for video games.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of know, you know, what they like. So hopefully we can kind of catch their attention in that way that, like, we do for video games.
Have you had to deal with, I mean, I don't know how, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of crossover, but are the fans, are your fans, the fans that are fans of your games and stuff like that, are they as hardcore and picky and angry as a lot of anime fans
Are they angry?
Anime fans are an angry bunch of folks.
Like, in general, not just anime.
But and it's not to put them down, they're just very passionate, and they tend to be...
Like, perfect. Like, they want the perfect.
It has to be perfect. Do you guys get a lot of that already? And are you ready for the coming storm?
I think we are.
You're prepared. Okay. Batten down the hatches.
But I hope they're going to be nice to us, though.
I think so far the response has sort of been half and half. It's been...
I give it a good 3 or 4 months until the floodgates open.
Yeah, probably.
Wow, I'm kind of scared now.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get to these questions from the fans over Twitter. First up, from /Len, any chance you're going to license hentai? We're having fun here.
We are very negative about that at this moment.
So
maybe,
for now,
maybe
no.
If we, you know, go near bankruptcy, we may try.
That's like a last straw.
It's an honest answer. Okay, from Ted of Werner, are you planning on releasing any more Sakura Wars games? If So Long My Love sells well.
Wow, at this moment, the Sakura Wars, So Long My Love will be the last Sakura Wars series, but maybe in the future it could happen, but then at this moment we just don't know.
Okay, we've covered this a little bit, but it's a little bit of a different angle. From AJM Karate 17, many long-standing anime companies are now suffering. What do you plan on doing differently to ensure survival?
So the one thing is we are already facing to the anime fans, and that means the, you know, we choose the best titles possible. And then another thing is we focus on our strengths. So we concentrate on good localization and the build relationships with customers. And the third thing is we just use internet channel for the sales, not the brick and mortar at this moment. And that's our strategy.
Minimizes cost.
Right.
No returns. Well, fewer returns.
Okay. From Shirley Hane, are you planning on license rescuing the Disgaea anime?
Oh, we knew that question's going to come in.
Yeah.
Well, like, the Geneon released Disgaea anime, And if Nippon-ichi Software makes new this kind of anime titles, and then we definitely, you know, consider.
Mm-hmm. But you're probably not going to pick up that old one.
Probably not.
Yeah. It wasn't very good.
Thanks.
from Shiroi Hane, any plans to distribute in Europe?
Oh.
I guess if they want to buy it, they can get it from Right Stuff.
Oh, that might be another opportunity since we already have the European publishing function, but at this moment we are focusing on North American market. Okay. That's a future possibility.
Right. All right. From Severance, our friend over at Anime World Order, you're known for very limited print runs of your work. Will the Anime Outline also have very limited runs?
It will be small amount of print.
So if people want to buy it when it comes out, right?
Yeah, but then, like, you know, of course we're going to do reprint if we have more, you know, orders coming in. So hopefully, you know, those people who want to buy them will get the copy.
From Gundam Pilot Spaz, how many releases are planned, and will you be doing just one box set or individual releases, like individual discs?
So we basically think that we divide in... One cool set. How do I say for the, 3 months period?
Quarterly set. So yeah, 13 episodes.
Right.
Half season.
Right.
Half season box. Right. It's like Funimation. So part one and part two.
Right. Okay. Yeah, something like that.
So before we wrap up here, I do wanna talk about the price point on your releases. What kind of what is your pricing scheme and how is it competitive with everyone else?
So our suggested retail price will be $59.99, basically. That's within the market range, and I don't know how the exact retailing price will be, but we set the our SLP at $59.99.
Okay. And there was one other big topic I got some emails about this. Some people are concerned about the translation quality, and they sent me screen caps from some of your video games where the English was a little questionable. What kind of quality control standards are you putting on the subtitles for your anime?
While localizing, we first translated Japanese into English. Then the English editor... We'll edit over all, text. And then all the relative people gather to the one thing to do a meeting called script party. So we do review all the scripts within the video game, right now video game. So we do all the, script review for about, maybe a week or 2 weeks. And that's what we do. And if we compare video games and anime titles, so anime titles are much less, fewer text. Mm-hmm. So that's why we can, enhance the quality if we compare to the video game.
So it's basically an anime is a walk in the park compared to like an RPG, where you've got thousands and thousands of lines of text. Like, it's just easier to keep the quality control down to
just,
the amount
of text is just so different. Like, for the RPG, it's just thousands, like 60,000 and stuff, like big games. So we're hoping that we're not saying that, it's going to be just easy, it's not a problem, but we're going to keep that same procedure for the script party and editing and all that for the anime titles. Mm-hmm. So we can recheck so many times, like review that title text.
Okay, well, that pretty much wraps it up for us, guys. Thank you so much for talking to us and
thank you so much.
The fans, I'm sure, are loving to hear from you guys, and that was great. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having us.
All right, folks, that's our show for this week. Sorry it's a little bit on the short side, but we'll be back next week with a regular full-length show. We will see you all next week.